Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca. Issues today. So for those of you who said, I'm going to be here for 16 points, don't worry. I'm going to kind of do it over a number of weeks. But the first one is the one that is obvious. Okay, it's called the tithe issue, and it is in a number of parts of Scripture. It's talked about in different ways. But the one that we know the most, the one that is the most popular, is Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, we'll start at verse 8. I do have it up on the PowerPoint if you don't have your Bible or your Bible app open. You're welcome to follow along. I'm reading from the New International Version. It says this, "Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are you? Are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You're under curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me." Then he goes on in verse 10 and he says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty." Well, that's a pretty powerful passage of Scripture. If you've heard this before, kind of wave your hand at me. A majority of us have kind of heard this particular passage. A tithe, for those of you who perhaps are just kind of learning on this stuff, was 10%. It was 10%, not only 10%, it was the 10% of what was called the first fruits. It was the first 10% that you had taken from it. Now, this didn't include a couple of things. It didn't include offerings. They didn't include the times when God had specifically asked or God led it upon the people to give for particular issues and things that were going on in the history of Israel at that particular time. The tithe was totally different from that. The tithe was also different from a thing which we call alms. Alms is that process where as God works in our hearts, we begin to see the poor and God convicts our hearts about there are people who are less fortunate than us. And God calls on us to give to help to those people who are not as fortunate. And Malachi basically uses strong language here. He says that if a person were to go to Malachi and say, "Well, I tithe to the poor, or I tithe and I give to this particular ministry," What Malachi would have said to that person is, "Well, actually, if you do that, you're a thief." Really? Stop and consider in the context with which he's saying that, this is what we have been talking about. And the storehouse represented the place that they were fed. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, says this, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain or from soil or from the trees, belongs to the Lord." It says this, "It is what is called holy unto the Lord." Now let's take a look at this thing called the tithe, because there's a lot of people who have said a lot of things. The tithe was instituted, we first hear about the tithe, when Abraham tithes to Melchizedek, his priest at that time. And so why is this important? Well, when Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, it was 430 years before the law even began. Almost a half a millennium before the law was instituted at that time. Because there's a lot of people who says, "Well, the tithe, that's just part of the Old Testament law." Well, not necessarily. People were tithing up to almost 500 years that we know of before this whole thing about the law came into effect. It is something that has kind of been seen throughout the Scriptures and has transcended this idea of the fact that the law says that I have to give. And Jesus, as tithing comes in, Jesus never issues a new decree. A lot of times Jesus says, "But when you tithe." When he's talking about the Pharisees, he basically says, "The only thing you really are doing right is tithing. You're doing all this stuff, but the thing is, you should do the one without the other." And so, as Jesus talked about finances, he never said, "You know, hey, a new decree I give to you. You don't have to tithe anymore." It was something that was kind of within the body of what was going on and had continued to take place. Interesting, if you think about it. You know, If you were actually to talk about, well, the New Testament is different. Basically, if you take a look at that, the New Testament says you're supposed to give 100%. And so that can become difficult. Randy Alcorn, who talks about in his book called The Treasure Principle, if you ever have a chance to see The Treasure Principle, it's just a small book. Grab it if you see it in the bookstore. It is a great, easy read. Look to watch. There's actually a course on Right Now Media. If you don't have Right Now Media, I'm telling you. The reason I say that is there are a number of families who have got it, but there's also more members who don't have it, or more attenders who don't have it. And so if you don't know what it's like, and what happens to me with stuff like Right Now Media is you get 50 emails in a day, and you see one that's not familiar to you, and you just say, delete, right? But if you know that you're going to be invited to be part of Right Now Media, at the end of the service, at the information kiosk, we'll take your email. We will re-invite you. If you have children, you should have it. It's got tons and tons of kids' stuff. It's got great Bible studies from some of the best teachers, and they have great stuff on finances and stuff like that. But anyways, Randy Alcorn says, you know what? 10% is this. It's actually a good start, right? Someone once said this. If you have spare change in your pocket, chances are you are in the top 7% of the richest people in the world. You may not think so. You may not think so. But when you stop and consider that, you know, there are billions of people who only make a dollar a day, and then another billion on top of that maybe make $2 a day, then you come to realize that, you know what, I'm not so bad. And this person says, so you mean to tell me at a time when we have more money and more wealth in the history of humanity, that God all of a sudden, well, you don't really have to give. That just doesn't seem to make sense. And so the tithe issue becomes something which is important, something that you can't really get away and you can't just fluff off. And I think that there is some great things that are there. There is a blessing which is in there. There is things that God has to say to us. From that, you have another thing, not just the tithe issue. It is called the test issue. If you read in Malachi chapter 3, 10, it says this, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw out the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Boy, that's basically, he says this, I dare you. I double dog dare you to do it. Test me on this. Take a look at all the scriptures and ask yourself, what other time in scripture does God say, test me on this? How many times can you read where God says, well, hey, you don't believe me? Test me. This may be the only place. This is how strongly that they talk about it. You know, give me a chance to show you how true this is. Have you ever taken God up on this? Have you ever said, and I know that there's so much that is in this, so much emotion when we comes to talking with that. It says, he uses the term floodgate, overwhelming flood. The people who were listening to this at the first time could understand the thought that this is like a dam bursting, a floodgate. One thing I did, and I thought I would present to you, if you are interested, I got a brochure, and I made it up a little while ago. It's not all of my material. It's a material from different individuals. It's called the 90-Day Tithe Challenge. And there is a brochure. I think we have a number of them there on the back at the information kiosk. And if you're interested, take a look at it. Say, okay, God, I'm willing to take a chance to allow you to do that in my life. And so that's the test. The thing is, whenever God talks about stuff like this, anything which is important, have you ever noticed that God will sign his name to these things? You ever notice that there are a number of names of God? I think I have a couple of them up there. Someone said, have you ever thought of doing a series on the names of God? Well, hold on a second. That's like a 3-year series, it almost looks like. These are all the scriptures where God names himself. You have, and in this particular passage of scripture, if you take a look, he uses the term Lord Almighty a number of times in Malachi. But there's, you know, El Shaddai, which is Lord Almighty, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Lord our righteousness. But the one that is key here is the fact that he calls himself Jehovah Jireh, that he is our provider, that he will provide for you. He will be for you. When it's a crucial aspect of God, basically what he does is he signs his name to it. So the second issue is the test issue. Also from this passage of scripture, and you will notice in this passage of scripture when people quote it, they don't add this particular verse of scripture, verse 11. And it is what I call the trouble issue. Right? In Malachi chapter 3, verse 11 says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. There's that term again, Lord Almighty. And so as I took a look at that, I asked myself, is there a link somehow? Is there some type of a principle that we can take that home? That if I am giving, that there is a level of protection. Because if I look at that verse in the scripture, it seems to read out. It seems to interpret itself. If you're a farmer, or if you've been related to farming, you can understand that particular passage of scripture, can't you? I remember being from the Niagara region, there always seemed to be this time where there would be a thunderstorm around the first and second week of July. And why was that so terrible? Because it was right at the time when cherries would ripen. And so you would get this thunderstorm, and then what would happen is because of this rainstorm, the water settling in on the top of the cherry would split it, and farmers would lose half of their crop based on this mishap of the weather. That and the fact that there would be birds that would come, birds like crazy birds. They would have bird bangers, and that wasn't a big bat that you hit them with. It was just this big loud noise that would come at certain times of the year that would scare the birds away. The fact that there is drought, and sometimes there is fungus, and sometimes that you... Hey, any farmer want to come up and testify to the fact that sometimes you may have a great crop and it's gone within a second? That there's opportunities. And somehow God is saying that if you are generous with me, then somehow in some way there might be a protection upon you. Or maybe if we look at things the opposite way, the fact that if we're not giving, then you become susceptible to the things that happen. Because money can take wings and it can fly away. And Proverbs talks about this. Proverbs says, you know, if you hoard what you hold on to, you lose it. But those who have their hands open to those who are giving, God somehow gives it back. There's this principle in scripture of the fact that as we're generous, God allows it to happen because money can be fleeting. You ever had that time where all of a sudden a check comes in the mail that you weren't expecting and you say, $250, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and all of a sudden here, bang, and the dryer has lost its belt. Flunk, 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 flunk. Well, there goes that $200. Man, Aunt Matilda gave me an extra $1,000 for Christmas. Isn't that wonderful? Let's go to Swiss Chalet and celebrate. And all of a sudden, flunk, 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 your tire goes flat or something to that extent. Money is fleeting. But if I surrender it to the Lord, I know that the Lord is in the midst of the process, the trouble issue. So that's Malachi 3. You see three principles, not just the one, but you see the three. Let me share one more. It's what I call the trust issue. And the trust issue is this. You will never grow beyond your level of trust. There are lots of scriptures which talk about this, but perhaps the most popular one is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so this is kind of an important issue. If you are trusting an individual, if you're trusting for God to move, it will always be an issue of faith. I've heard people come and say to me, listen, when I can afford, when I get to that point where I am financially stable enough to tithe, then I will. The only problem is that 97.32% of us never, ever get to that point. Tithing will always be a faith issue. You will always find a reason not to tithe. What happens is people get stalling points in their lives because they never go beyond that point of taking a chance. They're continually trying to stay in the safe zone. But ultimately, you rob yourself if you do everything else but just try and stay safe in the corner. You rob yourself of the things that God can do. And so not only do you rob God, you eventually rob yourself. I came across a quote from a number of Bible scholars that says this: God doesn't need our money, but he utilizes the most important competitor that we have with God. And God commands us to tithe, he says, I'm asking you to take from your greatest competitor to your love for me. The greatest temptation to make a God in your life and to give it to me. And I'll talk about that a little bit in detail. The question is this: will you trust your money? Or will you trust me, God says. Plus the fact that Christianity's never ever been about safety. It's never been about playing it safe. If someone has said to you, listen, if you accept Jesus, I promise you everything will be safe, that person has misled you. It's not about seeing if you can play it as safe as you possibly can. There's a video I showed a number of weeks ago by Francis Chan about him being on a balance beam. And sometimes we try and make it, and then all of a sudden we just kind of end the routine by clinging on to the balance beam. We kind of go, ta-da. It doesn't work that way. God continually works through you. It's never been about safety. Luke 16, verse 10 says this. Let me just wind up with this. It says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you? Who will trust you with true riches? And if you have been not trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? So basically, this is the scratching of the surface. Perhaps this is the sermon that you have heard the most. But let me just say this, for those of you who need to be challenged, that the only way you'll be able to come to a conclusion in this type of an issue, if you're fighting with it, the only way that you can resolve this is to say, okay, God, I am willing to take a chance. And that's the challenge for you today. Take a look, say, okay, God, I'll give you 3 months. I'll give you 3 months. Let's see what you can do. I'm always looking for stories. I'm always looking for something that's kind of neat to kind of finish using a message. I came across a story of an individual who was a pastor in St. Louis, and he's a baseball fan. And so he always liked to go to the baseball games, and he always liked to go to the baseball games early. The reason he went early is because he liked to watch batting practice, and he kind of hoped that one day he would catch a ball. So he strategically always put himself in the right place where he figured he would be able to catch a baseball. And so this is one of those times he kind of goes early for the game to watch batting practice, and all of a sudden there is this little boy, I think his name was Frankie, and he's wanting a ball. And so he sits there and he begins to talk, and he can't really talk. And you know, when you're 4 or 5 years old, you don't kind of have the English down, and you kind of got a bit of a lisp. And Mr. McGuire, can you give me a ball? Can you give me a ball? And he's kind of saying that, and they're smiling, but they're too far away to throw him a ball. And so he strikes up this conversation with this young kid, and he's anxious to get a ball. It's one of the, you know, he's kind of really wanting to see it happen. And so he says to himself, this pastor, he says, okay, I will promise you that if I catch a ball, I will give it to you. Figuring, I haven't caught a ball in 28 years as much as I have tried. So then what he says is this. Now you can tell by now in this part of the story that this would be a useless story if you didn't know what was about to happen next. 5 minutes later, he catches the ball, and he doesn't give it to Frankie. No, he gives it to Frankie. He gives it to him. And then he begins to wonder and says this. I wonder how often God waits to give us something until we get to that point where we're willing to give it away. And I think that that's the challenge for us. You were never, ever meant to be a reservoir. You were meant to be a river for the Spirit of God to flow through you. God, I pray for the anointing power of the Holy Spirit to move in every heart, to move in every life. I pray, Father, for the power of Christ to flow in all of us. And for those of us who give and have recognized the power and the blessing that comes with giving, God, let this just be, Lord, the added fact. But Lord, I can't help but think that there are those people who have wanted to give, and for some reason they decide, I just can't. There's just too many things that are in place. I'm scared. There's a lot of things that are needed. I have family, I have other issues, I have other things which are there. And somehow, in some ways, they kind of have felt back. Lord, I pray that they will feel no guilt from this message at all. But I pray, God, that you will convict. I pray, Father, that you will speak to all of our hearts and that you will minister in a deep way. Allow your touch to move in our lives. Allow the anointing hand of God to flow. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, I pray that your anointing will be on two places today. Lord, I ask, God, that you anoint this altar for any person who wants to come, be ministered to. Lord, I pray that you bless the foyer, Father, with anointed conversations and with fellowship, Father, so that people will say, it was good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Allow the presence to move as you work and deal every day with our lives, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.